This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's my joy to welcome you this morning to this time of worship, whether you are here in the sanctuary or joining us online. We know that Christ's Spirit unites us, and it is good to be together, having survived 6 to 8 inches of snow and all sorts of things this past week. It's good to be together this morning and hope everyone is well. I invite all of us, whether you're here in the sanctuary or worshiping online, to sign in and let us know that you're worshiping with us. There are registration pads in the pew racks before you or at the end of the row, if you would sign those and pass them down the row. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can click on or put into your browser, and that will take you to an online form to sign up. This morning, we are hearing the story of Jesus' baptism, and we'll have an opportunity after the sermon to renew the baptismal covenant together. And we'll be doing that here in the sanctuary in a particular way. But if you're worshiping online, I would invite you to take a moment to go into the kitchen and get a cup of water so that you can participate in that moment in every way. Other announcements as we gather this morning. At 9:45 this morning, there's a youth parent meeting. Which will take place in the youth area and also over Zoom. So if you need that Zoom link, you can text our youth director, Emily Robbins, for that link. On Tuesday, we have our annual charge conference. Our district superintendent, Scott Allridge, will be with us, and it's our yearly gathering where we do some of the business of the church to get our leaders nominated and to set clergy salaries and to go over our membership roles, and everybody's welcome. The members of the ministry table will be there for that meeting, but it's open to everybody. So there's information in the bulletin about how to get the Zoom link if you'd like to join us over Zoom, or we'll be in room 310 if you'd like to join us in person. Next Sunday, we begin a new member class. They will meet here in person during Sunday school at 9:45. And also, if you'd prefer to do it over Zoom, there will be a second class at 5 p.m. on Sundays over Zoom. And the information on how to sign up is also in your bulletin. We have made the decision to postpone our leadership retreat and our Project Thrive conversations that we had planned for sort of the third week of January. Given the Omicron variant and its surge in Nashville, we expect we might be at the height of that surge. So we're going to postpone it. We'll be letting you know, hopefully, dates in February, because those gatherings are really important to have in person if we can. So hopefully we can do that in February. And finally, just a little preview, a little teaser. We are going to be starting a sermon series next Sunday called Love Always. We're going to focus on 1 Corinthians 13 and explore what Christian love is all about. And we have a little gift for you if you're able to come in person. So that's encouragement if you feel comfortable coming to worship in person to do that next week. And we'll have that available throughout the sermon series. But we're really excited about how this focus can help us all dig a little deeper in our faith and in our lives following Christ during this season. So we hope you'll join us. Today, however, we are called to meet Jesus on the banks of the Jordan River to experience and renew this covenant of baptism.
God, your voice moves over the waters. God, your spirit descends on us. God, you call us your beloved children. Jesus comes to proclaim peace to all who were far off and to all who are near. Through him, all of us have access in one Spirit of God Almighty. Therefore, let us confess our sins together that we might receive forgiveness and peace. Living God, when the Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism, you revealed him as your own beloved Son. You anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, we too are invited into the covenant of baptism. We confess this day that sometimes we do not live into the vows we made. We have sinned against each other and against you. We have turned our backs on injustice and oppression. We have trusted in things that are not from your grace. We have not loved our neighbor fully. When we are still your beloved children. And yet, the remembrance of these vows calls us back to repentance and reminds us who we are and whose we are. Forgive us and grant that we may boldly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live according to your will. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us at home today, you may do that by sharing greetings in the chat or with people that are near to you this morning. And those of you that are in the sanctuary may share these signs of peace and love and grace in whatever way is most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together for the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel of Luke 3:15-17, 21-22. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are here in the sanctuary to come forward and join me if you'd like. And if you're worshiping from home, just to move a little closer to the screen. See everybody. Whoops. Is that still on? There we go. Good to see everybody. I hope y'all had fun playing in the snow. I sure did. We made snow cream at my house. If you don't know what that is, ask one of your parents. They'll have to make it for you next time it snows. Come join us. Glad to see everybody. Well, I've been thinking a lot about baptism. You know, sometimes in church, we have a baby that gets baptized and we put water on their head. Sometimes it's a grown-up who gets baptized because maybe they've never been baptized before. But the water is something that we put on their heads, and it's just a reminder to them and to everybody that God loves us, that we belong to God. And just a second ago, it stopped, but did you hear how hard it was raining? Let's see if we can hear the rain. I think it's gotten kind of quiet now. But when Henry was reading the scripture, he said something about the heavens opened and a dove came down, and it was like the rain was just whoosh. And that made me think that God was saying to all of us, I love you so much. Just pouring down God's love on us. And so whenever it rains, maybe we could think about that, that is God's love coming down on us. And whenever we think about baptism, whenever we see a baby or a person being baptized, we can think about that water saying to them, God loves you so much. And even if you haven't been baptized yet, God loves you so much, always. And that will never, ever, ever change. In a few minutes, the congregation's going to get a little bead, and some of you may get these too, that reminds us of a water droplet, so that wherever we go, we can hold it in our hands and remember, God loves me so much and always will. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the water of baptism. We thank you for the rain that remind us how much you love us. Help us to know how much you love us and always remember it, and to know that will never, ever, ever change, no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Nancy to Children's Chapel. And if you're younger than that or older than that, you can stay with your family. Okay, well, you can go with Pastor Maggie. She's right there by the door. Have fun.
Someone asked me not too long ago, actually it was during Advent, what is your favorite worship service? And I had trouble answering, because the truth is my favorite worship service is whichever one's coming up next. So sometimes it's, oh, Jazz Mass is my favorite. No, wait, it's Ash Wednesday. No, wait, Maundy Thursday, Easter, no. I love all of the different ways that we worship and we explore the scriptures together and celebrate the liturgy and God's love. But golly, I kind of think this service might be my favorite. This renewal of the covenant of baptism is such a beautiful worship service. And it gives me an opportunity as one of your pastors to say out loud to you every year the same thing that Jesus heard at his baptism. You are my beloved child, and in you I am well pleased.
I get to remind you and myself and all of us that that same voice, God's voice, speaks to us in the same way through the waters of baptism. And it's a privilege, and it's a piece of good news that we all need to hear over and over again. We are loved by God, claimed as children of God. So if you hear nothing else today, let that be the good news that you take home with you today. You are loved, and there's nothing you can do to change that. But as I read the Gospel of Luke's account of Jesus' baptism, I noticed a couple of other words in the story that Henry read for us. And it reminded me of some of the layers of things that happen in the sacrament of baptism. Reminded me of some things that I need to remember when I think about baptism. And it occurred to me when we hear John the Baptist say to the crowds, as he's baptizing people by the side of the River Jordan, he says, "There's one who is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I baptize you with water," John says, "but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, the Greek word that's used for Holy Spirit is simply pneuma, or wind. He will baptize you with wind and fire. What does that mean? How might wind and fire speak to us in our walk with Christ and deepen our understanding of who we're called to be? Well, John the Baptist gives us a wonderful, powerful image to explore this idea of wind. He said that the one who baptizes you with wind and fire will be like the farmer who lifts up the wheat on his winnowing fork. Now, how that worked was the farmer would have sort of a pitchfork, and he would lift up a bunch of wheat and then allow the wind to blow through it. And the wind would carry away all of the chaff, all of the things that could not be used to make good bread. And so I wonder if the Holy Spirit might work in our lives that way. If we can lift up the fullness of our lives to God and allow God's Spirit to remove from us those things that are not of God, those things that are not born of love or born of the Spirit. I want to invite you in this moment, and if you want to close your eyes, you can, or if you want to take a pen and paper and write some things down, to think about that image of the wind blowing through that bunch of wheat and removing the chaff, removing those things from us that are not of God. What might need to be removed from your spirit, from my spirit? Maybe it's an old resentment. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's a sense of low self-esteem. Maybe it's this practice of self-talk that tells you again and again that you're not worthy or that you don't belong. What is it that keeps you from trusting in God's unconditional love for you? In this moment, imagine the Spirit removing that from you. And take that with you into your prayers this week, continuing to lift yourself into the light of God's love and allow the Spirit to continue purifying your life and your love. He will baptize you with wind and fire. What does it mean to be baptized by fire? Fire serves many purposes in our world and in our lives. But I can't help but think that Luke might be pointing to the day of Pentecost. It's Luke who tells us about that Pentecost day. And I wonder if it's a little bit of foreshadowing that those believers of Jesus were baptized with fire. There were flames as if tongues of fire rested on each one of them. Do you remember the story of Pentecost? And they were each empowered to speak in different languages, and they were sent out from there all across the globe to announce the good news of Jesus and to share God's love and grace and forgiveness with the world. So how might you and I be baptized with fire? Each and every one of us who is baptized is a minister of the gospel. We each have been called and ordained to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in the world in all sorts of different ways. This past week, I read the obituary of Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Stacy mentioned him in her sermon a couple of weeks ago. And they described him as someone who had a sparkle of kindness in his eyes, a quick laugh, a spirit of joy, and a fire in his belly. That when he saw injustice, he couldn't help but speak up. That fire burned so brightly in him. What is the fire that burns in you? What has God given you a passion about? How might God be calling you to serve and to spread love in the world? Maybe it's just a nudge to write someone a card or give someone a call or reach out in love to a neighbor. Maybe it's to get out there and advocate for change in our world. Whatever that might look like, you are ordained and empowered by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we are called in our day-to-day walk with Christ to keep that fire stoked, to make room in our lives to let it burn and lead us where it will. I baptize you with water, said John, but one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You might notice that whenever we do a baptism here, usually it's with a child, but sometimes it's with an adult. We take the water and we place it on their head and baptize them. But the baptism is not over yet. The next thing we do is we pray for the Holy Spirit to work in that person's life. So they are baptized by water and the Spirit. And so as we prepare in the next few moments, those of us who are baptized to renew our baptismal vows and to have an opportunity to touch the water or to receive a bead as a reminder of the waters of baptism, let me say to you, and to me, and to all of us who are worshiping with us in this moment, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, the wind and fire of the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. And now, my friends, we have an opportunity to gather around the font once again to renew our vows of baptism. This is not a rebaptism. It's simply a reaffirmation of those vows that were made on our behalf when we were baptized, if we were baptized as children, or that we made at our baptism if we were baptized in adulthood. If you have not been baptized, we invite you nevertheless to participate and to receive a bead this morning as a reminder of God's unconditional love for you. And if you'd like to talk with someone about being baptized, please contact one of us, and we'd love to have that conversation. We're going to, in just a moment, renew our vows of baptism, after which we will invite you to come forward as you feel led to receive one of these beads. Aaron and Brandon and Stacy will be standing in the middle with bowls, and they will hand you a bead if you'll just have your hands open. I'll be serving the choir, and then I'll make my way around the sanctuary in case there are those who are unable to come forward. If you'd rather receive a separate bead that's already in a cup, there are some lined up over here on the sides of the transepts, and you're welcome to come and receive those. After receiving this bead of baptism, we invite you to kneel at the altar rails, if you would like, to continue that prayer for the Holy Spirit to help to purify our spirits and to set us on fire once again for ministry. So let us join together in this liturgy together. My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I invite you now to stand in body or in spirit and join with me in reaffirming these vows of baptism. These are ancient questions that Christians have been answering for centuries, and we join our voices with them. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
You may be seated. This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us. All creeping things, all races, all genders, all people.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit we weren't to taste.
This water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us that God won't destroy creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God.
This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprang from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
These are the salty tears that King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pled God for forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon, by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan. The day they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you my heart sings for joy."
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank and then was rescued, setting the pattern for a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria where Jesus chatted, unchaperoned, with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored healing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
And this is the water that he used to cut his wine at the last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
And this is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
We invite you now, my friends, to come to the water. Come as you feel led, to receive a symbol of the water, which is also a symbol of wind and fire. Fire at its very hottest is blue and nearly clear. Come and receive, either from one of us, or receive from one of these cups over here, or give me a wave as I make my way through the sanctuary, and I will serve you where we are. Come, be reminded of God's love, God's wind, and God's fire. And now, my friends, I say it again, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful lives. Amen.
On this day, let us turn now to our God who loves us and who hears the prayers of our hearts. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abundant grace, in these moments of reflection, when the year is new, when we have touched the waters of baptism, we remember your faithfulness toward us. We give you thanks that your grace has gone before us, sometimes when we haven't even been aware of its movement. We give you thanks that your grace is present now, in this very moment, inviting us into the saving work of Christ and into deeper relationship with you. And, O God, we give you thanks that your grace will go with us into the future, nudging us, prodding us, calling us to be more like Jesus, helping us to be more holy. O God, there are many who need an extra measure of your grace this day, and so we lift them up to you. We remember all who are sick, all who are in pain, all who are nearing death. We remember those who are weary, those who are lonely, those who are discouraged. We lift up to you those who are hungry, those who do not have adequate shelter, and those who suffer from violence or oppression. O God, may your grace be present with all of these people, whether in chaos and disruption or in quiet moments of connection, in the caring actions of another or in the acts of justice within a community. May your comfort and healing power be as close as our very breath, and may the fire of your Holy Spirit burn away all that which is not life-giving and life-affirming in our world and in our lives. All of our prayers, O God, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us now make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer. You may give through our website or in the boxes at the doors to the sanctuary. Let us give with joy this morning.
have been refreshed by the waters of baptism, reminded that we are God's beloved children. We've been purified by the wind of the Spirit, ready to continue working in us. And we have been set aflame by the fire of the Spirit. So go forth with that heat, with that joy, with that love, to share God's love with all this day and every day. Amen.